Welcome, boils and ghouls, to Handle with Scare, a horror podcast brought to you by Totally Drunk and Vashti. Following our teaser episode this past weekend, we are now readily available to download on all the major podcatchers. We appreciate every one of you who have tuned in to see what this podcast is all about. If you're looking to stay connected with us via social media, you can do so on Twitter at Handle with Scare. You can also email the show at handlewithscarepod@gmail.com. And of course, we do have our website, which is completely up at this point at www.handlewithscarepod.com. Now that we've gotten all of that out of the way, let me introduce you to my co-host. Put in the E in debauchery. It is Vashti. Vash, you know, it's great to have you back. How are you feeling after that Twisted Tuesday lineup that we had?
Always great to be here. The Twisted Tuesday lineup that we had last week was pretty good. I must say, I'm not really a fan of The Ring. I know, oh my gosh, but I'm not really a fan of that movie. Sinister, I couldn't go to sleep. I've seen that movie with us, you know, on Twisted Tuesday before, and I still can't go to sleep like comfortably after watching that movie. But The Ring is not really my forte. Like, it doesn't scare me. It's a good movie. I like Ju-on better. Once it transitioned into the United States and they remade it, I was like, eh. But it was a good counter to what we were already going to be playing Sinister and everything. So I was like, oh, yay. So it was good.
So you mentioned Ju-on, which is The Grudge.
The Grudge. Yeah.
Yeah. I was curious, like, did you actually mean the J-horror Ju-on, or did you mean like The Grudge reboot that was brought stateside?
Oh, no, I meant the original.
Okay. Well, how do you feel like the remakes hold up against one another? Do you have a preference between the two?
I like the originals. I like the remakes to an extent. Yes, I'll watch them and stuff like that, but I don't think they hold up that as well for me. Mm-hmm. Some might say they do, but for me, I don't believe they do. So it's just my preference, I guess. But you guys let us know what you guys think. You know, if you guys like the original better, let us know. If you guys like the remakes better, let us know. We'd like to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, with really the entirety of, like, Asian horror, like, across the board, whenever it is brought to, like, stateside and remade for the American audience, not the best track record. I mean, we've seen sequels for The Ring. We've even kind of seen, like, a reboot of The Grudge, which was done here this past year, which I was hopeful for just because it did receive an R rating as opposed to PG-13, which is what we had kind of been accustomed to at the time. And, you know, while some of the gore effects did deliver, that movie just fell completely flat for me. As seems to be like kind of like a common thing in regards to, you know, reboots here as of late. Not all of them can live up to like the most recent Halloween, which was a direct sequel to the original. So to each their own. But, you know, there definitely are some American remakes that kind of hold their weight. Probably the first one that would come to mind, for me at least, would be the Let the Right One In remake, which was titled Let Me In. That one's probably like at the top of the list.
That one is good, yes.
So, jumping into the agenda for tonight, you know, we are into the month of May, which means, of course, we have a handful of new titles being added across all of the major streaming services out there. So, towards, you know, the start of the month, we're going to be letting you guys know what genre titles are going to be added. And, you know, the platforms that we're looking at primarily are Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, as well as Shudder, which is, of course, exclusive to, you know, sci-fi, horror, and, you know, they do have their own originals as well. So you guys can actually find all of the now streaming releases for the month over on our website. That is under the news tab. So if you want to see like the master list of everything that's come in, you can also find it there. But let's go ahead and take a look at what new frights await us for the month of May, starting with what we are getting via Netflix. So Vash, why don't you go ahead and take this one? What are we going to be Netflix and chilling with this month?
Well, you'll be Netflixing and chilling. From May 1st, Sinister was added. May 6th, Hangman will be added, or has been added, because it's the 9th. I'm crazy over here. And May 8th, what was added was House at the End of the Street. Miss a Serial Killer, also on May 1st. So you'll have those four this month in Netflix, so that you can Netflix and chill with your loved ones, your friends, your honey boo or whatever, and stuff like that. So there's some good releases, obviously, for Netflix. They're always great and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure we'll end up watching House at the End of the Street sometime soon.
Yeah, I feel like if we're going to watch that one, since it has Jennifer Lawrence, we'll probably pair that with, I would say probably Mother, which I know is still streaming on Hulu, because that would be another genre title. I can't think of really anything else off the top of my head, but that would probably be the way to go. I only remember fragments of that movie. I do not remember being that impressed. But really, the big release here out of this lot is Sinister. And this is going to be, you know, a movie that we will be reviewing towards the end of this episode, because it was part of our Twisted Tuesday night lineup that consisted of the U.S. remake of The Ring, which was released in 2002, and then followed by Sinister for the late night movie. So that will lead us into the Hulu releases for the month of May. So to kick things off, we have Friday the 13th, Part 3 and 4. Those were added on May 1st, along with Pathology and The Conjuring. May 8th, which was yesterday, we have the next installment for the Into the Dark anthology series. This one is Delivered, which has a Mother's Day theme for it. Also released as of yesterday was The Lodge. Looking at these, we actually got some pretty interesting pieces. So a couple of notes here. Today is May 9th, you know, the day that we are recording this episode. And today's actually the 40th anniversary of Friday the 13th. So I know there was a 40th anniversary steelbook that was released. And, you know, what better way to, like, rein in the 40th anniversary than by doing a Jason marathon? So I'm definitely going to be checking those out later tonight after this. You know, really, like, these May releases are pretty good across the board. You have Pathology, which is for all of you fans of, like, medical-based horror movies. You know, you can pair this with things like American Mary, Excision, Flatliners, maybe something like Nurse, for, like, your next double feature, if you're looking at doing that. And then, who doesn't love The Conjuring? I know some people might consider it to be a little overhyped, but it does kind of fall in line with, you know, Sinister and Insidious, and we'll definitely be waging those against one another when we talk more about Sinister later on tonight. We'll definitely have more about Into the Dark, because that's going to be one of the spotlights for this Tuesday's Twisted Tuesday lineup, as we're going to be taking a look at both of the Puka movies. And, you know, outside of that, The Lodge is one that I have been interested in. This is one of the festival movies that had premiered this past year at Sundance. It's gotten fairly positive reviews. I think right now it's still at about, like, 73% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's basically like this remote winter cabin setup that falls more in line with like a psychological horror. It's basically like described as like wintry in tone. And this is from the writers of Goodnight Mommy by Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz. So I don't know quite what to expect from this, because, you know, with most like indie movies, you know, it is typically a little bit of a slow build, but I really like isolation-type setups, so I really feel like this one is going to be up my alley. So I'll definitely check this one out here shortly. But that mm-hmm. would lead us into what is available on Prime.
And we have four that are available on Amazon Prime. Arkansas and Cadaver Christmas both came out on May 1st. Coming on May 22nd, we have Come to Daddy. And on May 29th, we have The Vast of Night. So all four of these, which is crazy, even though I'm giving you guys information of what's coming out, I don't believe I've seen any of these, which is going to be new for me to watch. And I know you have, Totem. So if you would like to give them some more insight on maybe one or two of the movies that are coming out within this group.
Well, I haven't seen any of these as of yet. I know a Cadaver Christmas. Obviously, it has Christmas in the title. It has to be holiday horror. I know it is a low-budget zombie flick. Come to Daddy stars Elijah Wood. I've seen the trailer for this one. This one looks pretty interesting. So it's another, like, remote cabin setup, go figure, where he is going to visit his father after, like, a lifetime of estrangement, and, like, things just escalate from that point, because things just quite aren't right with Elijah Wood's father in this movie. I don't know what direction this movie goes in. I've heard it is kind of like dark humor. It's pretty bloody. So I'm anxious to check this one out in particular, but I'm not too familiar with Arkansas or The Vast of Night, unfortunately, but I am much more familiar with the lineup for Shudder. So of course, Shudder, probably the best spot for horror. I mean, it's what it revolves around all the time. So already out this month, as of May 1st, we have Angst, Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon, Satan's Slave, The Strange Vice of Mrs. Ward. On May 4th, we had Crave and the De Book, as well as Dario Argento's Tenebrae, which, if you guys watched the last drive-in, actually followed the double feature last night. As of May 7th, we had the release of a new Shudder original, Z. More on that later, because I did watch that one. We have Devil's Mile, Parasomnia, Hellraiser, Hellbound Hellraiser 2, all coming out on May 11th, followed by Monstrum on May 14th. And then we have Goodnight Mommy, releasing on May 18th, along with I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then we have The Dirties. And, you know, we got a couple more here. There's quite a bit for Shudder. We have Blood Machines, releasing May 21st, followed by Turbo Kid on May 25th. And last but not least, we have Confessional on May 28th. Okay, so let's rewind a bit. So Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon. This is something that I know we have definitely watched on Twisted Tuesday. This is a mockumentary-type horror movie, which is essentially following Leslie Vernon, who is looking to basically live up and be the next great horror icon. You know, you have cameos from some pretty notable names in the genre. You have Robert Englund. Zelda Rubinstein is in there, which was actually her last movie role. You also have Kane Hodder. And, you know, they definitely poke fun at the genre during this as well, which is great to see. But I want to talk a little bit about Z, which just came out. So this is another one of those imaginary friend movies. And if you wanted something to pair with this, we actually just watched this recently. There is Daniel Isn't Real, which is another imaginary friend type build, where there's like some cosmic horror elements. Basically, this imaginary friend tries to convince, you know, this young boy to drug his mom because it will give her superpowers. Well, needless to say, you know, he puts the pills in the blender, you know, he mixes it all together, and, you know, his mom definitely has some ill effects to it. And then it kind of cuts to the scene where the mom forces the kid to lock up his imaginary friend Daniel in, like, this dollhouse. And it kind of builds off of that. It, like, fast forwards into when he's older. And, like, his mom is still kind of, like, off her rocker. And needless to say, like, there's something wrong with him as well. But it kind of, like, paints it in, like, I don't want to give too much away, but one of the major themes about the movie is about, like, your inner self, and it kind of plays off of that. But Z has kind of, like, some interesting vibes to it. It had this moment that was kind of, like, Hereditary-esque in regards to, like, having a sudden kill that really, like, grabs hold of you. But I did find that it lost a little bit of traction when you start to learn more about the mom's childhood. Now, I don't want to go too much further into that, but there is one scene in particular in this movie, and I know it's one that Jess had mentioned with her, like, mini-review that she posted on Twitter. There is a scene that involves a lot of, like, children toys in, you know, the little boy's room, and Z likes to communicate via, like, one of those alphabet toys. So, you know, only having, you know, one syllable to his name or consonant, like, he constantly hits Z over and over and over. And then anytime someone goes to pick up said toy, obviously nothing happens. Well, needs to say, like, the dad of this family, he picks it up, and then the dad picks it up, and then all of a sudden, every single toy in this kid's room starts lighting up. So, you know, you start to go through all these strobe effects, and then Z really comes to life in, like, a paint, like, a dark arts painting come to life moment, which is really awesome. So definitely go check that one out. Let us know what you think about that one, but that one is a Shudder original. You won't find it anywhere else. And if you've been on Shudder, I'm sure at this point you have probably seen the trailer for it, because they do play that quite often. Anything else, though, in regards to, like, the Shudder lineups that you are personally looking forward to checking out here?
Oh, me? Most definitely. Hellraiser and Hellbound Hellraiser 2. I've loved those movies since I was young, so it's going to be lovely to get back in there and watch both of them back to back. So, yeah, that for sure. That's pretty much it for me. Z, I'm actually going to watch too. I haven't seen that yet. So I'm going to watch that one. And that's pretty much it for me. I'll go check out some of the other ones and stuff like that here and there when I can. For me, it's kind of hard because my husband doesn't like horror movies. So if I have one on in the room or in the living room and he walks in, he's like, uh-oh. And then he'll, like, leave the room. He will not watch them with me.
I think the exception to that was when we were watching Knock Knock and it got to the shower scene.
Yes. That was okay. But for the most part, yeah, I'll try to get to them when I can, but Hellraiser and Hellbound. Hellraiser 2 for me.
Yeah, and for those that haven't heard, they did officially green light the Hellraiser HBO series that has been rumored for, I don't know, I feel like I've been hearing this for like
forever.
10 years plus at this point. It is happening, so it's just a matter of time. Outside of that,
I'm just really excited about that.
Like, I do like seeing that Goodnight Mommy is among this list, because we know that The Lodge is coming out via, you know, one of the other streaming services. So, you know, like, what better way than by watching two films from the same director duo? And I'm a sucker for 90s slashers. So when I saw I Know What You Did Last Summer, yes, I own all of the movies. But, I mean, come on, this is a 1997 slasher chock full of teenage heartthrobs. You got Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, and Freddie Prinze Jr. I mean, this is a pretty big cast. And this is written, of course, by Kevin Williamson of Scream fame. And really, for me personally, I have a soft spot for those urban legend-themed movies. Now, Urban Legends in itself, the movie, I wasn't, like, a huge fan of. Like, I like the idea behind it, but the execution wasn't quite there for me. But I Know What You Did Last Summer definitely grabbed my attention, and that was primarily because I will watch just about anything with Jennifer Love Hewitt in it. Now, you know, looking at some of the other ones, I have seen, like, trailers for Blood Machines, and this one looks pretty interesting. So this is, like, a sci-fi, synthwave-laced space adventure movie. I don't know how else to describe it. My only concern about this one is that it might fall into that category of being style over substance. But that being said, like, the visuals that I saw in the trailer were very striking. It's definitely lured me in. And Turbo Kid is one that I own. That's a surprisingly gory post-apocalypse film, which it's kind of like steampunk in ways. I think you'd really like this one. It is all set within the Wastelands, which is like an alternative Earth where water as a resource is scarce. So you have the kid who is essentially a comic book fan who turns into a superhero. And then he teams up with, like, this mysterious girl and one other person, and they're looking to stop, like, this warlord named Zeus. But some pretty good gore in that movie. I definitely recommend you check that one out. But a lot of good entries for fans of really a lot of different subgenres within horror. So definitely go check out what Shudder has to offer you, as well as, you know, make sure you're keeping up to date with The Last Drive-In. Last night, in particular, was very intriguing, as I mentioned some particular scenes in Brain Damage pre-show. I had a really good time drunk memeing and just dicking around in Photoshop. It was a good time last night. And that was followed by another Dario Argento movie, Deep Red. So if you're a fan of giallos, definitely go check that out as well. So looking at the other news, we got a couple of other tidbits that I want to talk about. We do know that Neve Campbell has been in talks for Scream 5. So we know that the Ready or Not duo of Matt Bettinelli-Ulpin and Tyler Gillette are looking to bring back, you know, leading lady Neve Campbell for Scream 5. So Neve revealed that she's been in talks with the duo, and they've already had conversations about a potential return as Sydney Prescott already. So Neve had been pretty apprehensive about doing another Scream movie without, you know, the late Wes Craven. But I kind of wanted to, like, reflect on where things kind of left off. Now, I will preface this by saying I did enjoy Scream 4. I don't know when the last time you watched Scream 4 was, so I don't know how much you recollect about.
It's been a while. Okay. It's been a long time since I've seen any of the Scream movies. It's been a long time. Maybe we should watch it on one of our Twisted Tuesday nights, or I'll just have to find it and watch it and stuff. But keep going.
So I remember when they were shooting Scream 4, there were a lot of rumors circulating that some of the franchise mainstays were going to get axed. Like, they're finally going to get killed off. And here we are. We have four entries into this series, and there are three main characters alive at this point. What other franchise can you think of where that is actually a thing that happens? Because I can't think of any. But there's a moment in Scream 4 that I felt like was a missed opportunity. Like, Scream has always kind of, you know, obviously when the first one came out, it basically reinvigorated the slasher genre. It also was very meta. It kind of poked fun at the genre as well. It was very self-aware, a lot of nods to, you know, various, you know, scary movies as well. But there is a scene where Sydney Prescott is essentially left for dead in the kitchen, right? And I don't want to, like, say, like, who the killer was, just in case someone hasn't watched it. But in Scream 4, there was a moment where one of the killers was put in back of an ambulance. And one of the motives behind it was, you know, she was essentially trying to gain fame, because they were, like, releasing the killings and all the movies and things like that. I really felt like there was a perfect opportunity there to leave things open for a sequel where the killer is put into the back of the ambulance, actually gets away with everything, and then Sydney's whereabouts, or, you know, if she is still alive, is just left up in the air. Because Scream has never been one to shy away from kind of, like, rewriting the rules. They didn't go that direction. Obviously, some things happen, and, you know, Sydney ends up still being alive, of course, because, you know, she's one of the best final girls there is. And, you know, every time I watch that movie now, I just can't help but think of, like, well, what would have happened had they gone that direction? Because I wanted it to feel a little bit different, because I felt like the way that they went was too much of a safe play over what possibilities could have been had they decided to take things in a different direction.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I'm not feeling about that. But how are you feeling about them continuing Scream? Like, are you confident with the Ready or Not duo? I know, I'm pretty sure we've actually watched that one on Twisted Tuesday.
Yes. For me, I'm like hit or miss when it comes to Scream. I'm like, eh. Like, I don't really think they need to make a Scream 5. I really don't think we need it. But some people might need that in their lives, and that's fine. For me, I would rather have, like, more Hellraiser. more horror movies like Hellraiser, or more horror movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You can do as many of those as you want, and I will never get tired of it, because I just love that. I just love that movie and all of the remakes. I'm not going to say I'm not going to look forward to it, because most definitely I'm looking forward to it. It's a new horror movie that's going to be coming out that we get to all check out. And everything like that. So yeah, I'm most definitely going to see it, but it's not something that I'm like going to be like, yay, crazy awesomeness. That's yeah. For me, not so much. But for you, how about you?
I definitely want it, but if we get another Scream movie and one of the main characters doesn't die again, I will be absolutely livid.
Oh yeah. So there's that. So
now,
yeah, that's gonna piss me off too.
Yeah, I will say, obviously, with the Scream franchise in particular, we have seen like a TV series that was on MTV, which really had no connection at all to the films. Mm-hmm. I remember painfully watching the TV series on MTV, which, as you would guess, much like the Teen Wolf series that they did, was very heavily teen romance drama with, yeah, you know, a couple of slasher elements here and there. You know, there were a couple of good kills, but they were very few and far between. Then I remember, like, I'm trying to remember, like, what order it went. I remember at one point, it ended up being on VH1. And
oh, really? Okay.
They went with a lot of black leads in this reboot, because it was on VH1. And that one kind of went like a Breakfast Club type setup. And I actually really enjoyed that particular season. I believe they're still on Netflix. I want to say it's season 3. So if that happens to still be there, I would definitely recommend that one.
Because
that one was actually respectable enough to like bring the screen, the Scream name, like to the silver screen. But you know, with Scream 5, I just want to see them do something different. Because there's a lot of different directions that they could take, whether or not, you know, Sydney Prescott makes it out alive or not. I'm not overly picky, like if Sydney has to be the one to die or if she survives again. But there's a lot more that they can do here. Now, looking ahead, we did get some Blu-ray announcements from Scream Factory, and they announced 3 new Blu-rays that will be released for the month of August. So we have Dark Castle's Ghost Ship. That one was released in 2002.
Oh, yeah, I remember Ghost Ship.
We have the Hammer 1962 adaptation of The Phantom of the Opera. And then we have the 6th volume of the Universal Horror Collection. Volume in particular contains The Black Castle, Cult of the Cobra, The Thing That Couldn't Die, and The Shadow of the Cat. So, of course, we don't really have special feature details as of yet. That will be, you know, released at a later date. But we do have our first look at the cover art for each of the films. So, looking at the street dates, we have Ghost Ship coming out in North America, or, you know, Region A, on August 18th. And if you order this within the first 3 months of its release, you do get the slip cover. The artwork is done by Joel Robinson, who I've actually met several times at Flashback Weekend. He's typically always there, and he does a ton of Scream Factory slipcovers. So if you're ever in Chicago, or if you see Joel, you know, tell him Handle the Scare sent you. So Ghost Ship, you know, the only thing I remember about this movie, Vosh, is the opening scene, and then nothing else. Because that was the only thing that really stood out to me about that movie, and I haven't seen it probably since 2002. But it's just one of those movies that I've never really felt the need to kind of like go back and watch. Maybe with this, I will think about it. But it was just one of those like openings that it kind of reminds me of Tag, which is a really bizarre Japanese movie where essentially it opens with a school bus full of like these Asian schoolgirls, and there is this burst of wind that ends up cutting straight through this bus, cuts all of the girls except one in half. Blood is splattering everywhere, right? And the only reason, like, the main character of this movie survives is because she was picking up a pencil that had fallen on the ground. Ghost Ship has a similar opening to it. That's why I brought that up. But, like, it was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, that's awesome. And then after that, the wheels just fell completely off.
Yeah, same. I agree. I remember the movie. I remember what you're talking about. And this is me. I was like, yeah, okay.
So outside of that, looking at the other release dates, we have The Phantom of the Opera, the 1962 release, due out on August 11th. And then that Universal Horror Collection is released on August 25th. So I'm not too familiar with a lot of, like, the classics. You know, if you're into Scream Factory releases, obviously, you know, pre-ordering them is always a positive just because you do get the slipcovers. And, you know, those are fairly limited, so if you don't order fairly early on, chances are you might miss out on that. So definitely keep that in mind. So really the only other thing of note that I wanted to talk about here tonight, Vosh, is we got a new DLC pack coming for Mortal Kombat 11 pretty soon.
Ace.
And we have RoboCop coming to MK11 for the Aftermath DLC content. So NetherRealm had dropped a trailer for this DLC, and RoboCop is voiced by RoboCop himself, Peter Weller. So for the story aspect of this, basically follows Liu Kang, and he's essentially joining forces with some unlikely allies, you know, even some old foes, to forge a new history as the fate of the two worlds hang in the balance. So this is due out on May 26th for, you know, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, Nintendo Switch, and a Google Stadia if you own one of those. I don't know too many people who actually bought a Stadia. That's besides the point. But in the reveal trailer, we didn't really get a whole lot to work off of. We basically see RoboCop, and of course, you know, we see another cop, and he strolls up, and he just goes, you know, "You are under arrest, dirtbag." And then that's the end of the trailer. Like, we didn't really see much, but we do have a few tidbits in regards to what you can expect from his character. So RoboCop does have the Auto 9 pistol. He has a flamethrower, a riot shield, as well as a shoulder cannon that can be loaded with various types of ammo. So in regards to like his playstyle, it looks like he's going to be more of a zoner character. And he does have a data spike, which is probably either going to be used as one of his fatal blows in the game or maybe a fatality. But really, when we're talking about Mortal Kombat and the addition of RoboCop, we got to talk about the potential for RoboCop versus Terminator. Like, that brings back some memories back to the Sega Genesis game of the same name. And I'm looking forward to that. But it's been a while since I've actually played MK11, but this has been a franchise that has never really shied away from adding things from the genre or from comics or from other movie franchises. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's rumored that they are also going to be adding Neo from The Matrix in one of the next DLC packs. So It's definitely going to be something I'm going to go back to play just because it has been that long. But, you know, just a RoboCop-Terminator matchup in particular. Just know that Terminator is more of like an all-out assault type character in the game, and then RoboCop is more defensive and trying to keep people at bay with his, you know, Auto 9 pistol. I want to see how those two are going to combat one another here.
Yeah, that's going to be nice to see. I think I'm going to get it as well and play it. I can't wait. Yay.
And of course, that would lead into this week's Now Playing. So on Tuesday, for Twisted Tuesday, we watch Sinister. This is the spotlight movie for the week, which, as I mentioned on our teaser episode, there is one scene in particular that is just a gotcha scene. Like, every time I see this movie, I am bound to jump. And honestly, like, this is the only movie that I can recall off the top of my head that has a scene like that, where I know it's coming, but the problem is, with the lawnmower scene, there is no audio cue at all. It's just a sudden jerk of the camera, you see the kill happen, and then, of course, you just hear that buzzing sound that's very sharp. Yeah. And then it's just, it's over, like, within a blink of an eye, but it's just the fact that, like, it makes your heart stop almost like every time that you see it.
Yeah.
But looking at Sinister, let's refresh everyone's mind in regards to what the movie is about.
So I'll take it from here. Sinister's plot. Well, it follows a true crime writer, Ellison Oswald, Ethan Hawke, who's played by Ethan Hawke, who is currently in a slump. He hasn't had a bestseller in more than 10 years, and he's becoming increasingly desperate for a hit. He's very agitated when he discovers the existence of a snuff film showing the deaths of a family. He vows to solve the mystery. What ends up happening there is he moves his own family, which is extremely crazy to me. Why would you do that? Why? He moves his family into the victim's home and gets to work. However, when the old film footage and other clues and hints at the presence of a supernatural force, Ellison ends up learning that living in the house may prove to be fatal. First of all, why are you going to move in somebody's house? I mean, where there was a murder that happened, several. That's just crazy to me. And I know it's a horror movie and these things happen, but there are people in real life that actually move into people's homes where there's been murders that have been committed. I could never. It's like, no, I'm sorry. No, Dad.
So
that right there got me. And then he doesn't tell his wife that they moved into... Oh, sorry. I should probably stop right here because I'm going to keep going.
Okay, so to preface this, there is a scene in this movie where the wife directly tells her husband, you know what? I don't want to know. And of course, like... True. You know,
but we want to know.
Yeah, the husband knows what happened. So basically, the murder that took place on this property wasn't inside the house. It's not a murder house, so to speak, because the murder actually takes place in the backyard. And of course, you know,
I wish you could see my face right now. I wish you could see my face, because I'm rolling my eyes at you.
The husband, like, tries to justify it based off of that, but, like, the wife isn't having any of it. But you know, Fosh, you like, you always want to point out, like, when something does something stupid in horror movies. Well, eventually the husband is like, you know what, F this, and you know, they end up moving back to where they were originally. But unfortunately, that only kind of speeds up the process and puts them further in danger. So when we're looking at Sinister, this is a pretty high body count. There are 20 kills in this movie, most of which are shown through the snuff films that the writer watches. And we have the Stevenson family, who are basically hung by ropes on a tree in the backyard. That's actually at, you know, that's the primary setting of the film, is at that murder house. We have the Martinez family, who were tied up inside of a car, and that car was then set on fire. You have a family that was resided in Oregon. I don't recall ever having a name for them. But this family, was taped to lounge chairs, and they were pulled into a pool until they drowned to death. You have the Miller family, who were basically strapped down to a bed, and their throats were slit with a knife. And, you know, what's interesting about this one in particular is all of the other snuff films in this movie basically were split into two parts. You basically opened up with, like, normal family happenings or parties or whatever, and then there would be a cut, and then it would kind of go into the kill sequence. But with the throat slashing, there was no ordinary introduction to this one. It just went straight for the kill, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I don't know why they went that direction, because it didn't really line up with what we were accustomed to. We have the DeLuzio mom, who was the one that was run over by the lawnmower in the scene that everyone always talks about that scares the shit out of them.
I didn't sleep for a while after that.
Yeah, you also have the dad and the daughter of the DeLuzio family, who we don't actually see them die, but we do see their bodies in, like, a bag, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you have the Oswald family, Ellison, Tracy, and Trevor, who were killed basically with an axe by the daughter. So, quite a bit going on in this film. And there's some pretty interesting tidbits about this movie. And one of them kind of ties into why we went with the double feature that we did this past Tuesday on Twisted Tuesday. So what's to be known about this movie in particular, Vosh?
So first, it was inspired by a nightmare writer, C. Robert Cargill, after watching the U.S. remake of The Ring. So not only did we watch The Ring on our Twisted Tuesday, but we watched this movie, Sinister, where it was inspired by The Ring. So that was pretty neat. Also, the family hanging out, 11 scene that opens the film, featured stuntmen. Playing the family, the stunt coordinator botched the prep, resulting in the stuntman legitimately being choked, which is crazy. The stunt coordinator was fired soon after. So that's crazy and also sad. At least nobody was passed or died, right, from it. I think they were just choked.
Yeah, they were choked for like a couple of seconds, probably, severe damage, at least.
Which is good. That no severe damage was done. Also, Ethan Hawke didn't watch any of the snuff films before shooting the movie, which is also crazy.
I mean, I think that's a great idea. Like, you get a genuine reaction.
Yeah, you do. I think it's crazy, but it's a really good way to go at it as an acting point of view. Like, no, I'm not going to watch it. I want to be surprised.
Right.
You know?
It's like the same as, like, the Pennywise and the kids not seeing Pennywise in full makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the deity's name, Bagul, translates back to the boogeyman. And that's exactly when I first watched it. And you see the image, I was like, oh, it's the boogeyman, you know, before they even called him Bagul. And stuff like that in the movie, I was like, oh, this is a boogeyman. All right. and who does the boogeyman haunt mostly? Or like try to get, you know, to do sinister things. He gets children to do them mostly. Usually adults don't do that because, you know, we're too grown up for the boogeyman.
Well, monsters are real and Bagul is the eater of children. So definitely got to keep an eye out for that.
That is true. How does Sinister hold up against similar paranormal horror movies like The Conjuring and Insidious? What do you think?
Okay, so I will preface this by saying I actually really enjoy all three of these movies. I think one of the things that really stands out to me about Sinister is the amount of detail that kind of goes into the different eras that are present during the snuff film. So anytime you do like a flashback to, like, you know, whenever the movie was shot on the Super 8, all of their clothes, the set pieces, the furniture, anything like that was something that you would see in that particular time frame. So I thought that was a really good nod. And, you know, for me, Like, the lawnmower scene always makes this movie stand out because it's one of the few scenes that I instantly recall, like, always grabs a hold of my attention and it always causes me to jump, where I don't really get to see that a lot in the genre anymore after seeing so many movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, The Conjuring, I have a love-hate relationship with, primarily because of what has spawned from The Conjuring. This series in particular has gone in so many different directions, and it has spin-offs, and it definitely loses its traction, but I like the whole element of, like, the clap game that the kids play. I thought that was a good touch. Yeah. Like, the clap scene in particular, when the mom is, like, going down to the basement with, like, the match, is always, like, mm-hmm. a pretty good scene, but it doesn't, like, jolt me as much as, like, the lawnmower scene in particular. And Insidious was really the horror movie that was PG-13 that actually made me warrant, like, seeing other PG-13 horror movies, because PG-13 always leaves this bad taste in the mouth of genre fans, because you don't really get the gore. It's very hard to have, like, that sort of suspense that you would get otherwise. But Insidious actually does pretty well with that. It's very atmospheric. You know, it has, like, that gothic setting. The soundtrack in particular is another standout, but that's, like, one of the more divisive aspects of the film. But, you know, it does have a scene where, you know, you see the demon appear in the window, which is another, like, a good jump scare scene. And, you know, it kind of pulls a little bit from the from, like, Sinister 2, because, like, there is that scene with, like, the little kid playing, like, hide-and-seek in the house that, like, jumps out of the cabinet. Just like with Ethan Hawke's character when he's walking through the house and you see all the kids playing behind him. And then every time he turns around, they just dash off into the room, like the door that's open right next to them.
Yeah.
So if I were to rank them, like, Insidious is always the one that I've kind of put on the pedestal first. Just because for PG-13, I did not expect that good of a movie. And the setting, the atmosphere really draws me in. I think The Conjuring gains a lot of hype, but I don't think it really meets the level of the hype that like the community has set forth for it. But, like, I don't consider that a bad movie in any regard. Like, if I were to rate all of these...
It's so good.
If I were to rate all of these, I probably wouldn't put any one of them under, like, if we're grading off of, like, 4 stars. What?
Oh, 4 stars.
Well,
let's, okay, there we go.
We'll say, like, out of stars, I wouldn't grade any of them below 3.
Yeah, no. No, like 3.5 or 4. Or, like, 3.5, 4.
So that I'd probably say Sinister. I'd probably put... Let me start with the top. So, like, Insidious... 3.5. I'd probably say Sinister not too far behind, so 3.25. Conjuring, I'd put it 3. All of them are really good.
Conjuring is also the lowest on my list, but I think I'm going to hold Sinister higher than Insidious because of the fact that when I watch Sinister, it doesn't matter how many times I will watch that movie, I will not be able to go to sleep for, like, hours. And then I will wake up in the middle of the night or the middle of the morning, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I can't go to sleep for, like, another, like, hour or two because I keep thinking about the movie and stuff like that. And then it sits with me and, and everything for days. And so, yeah. So that's why I'm going to hold that one higher than Insidious, but none under 3. No.
Yeah, all of them are really good in their own right. I just wish that with The Conjuring and Insidious in particular, that things didn't get so far-fetched as the series kind of, like, progressed. Because both of them kind of fall into, like, a very similar pattern. Where they try to expand on the lore, you know, they go deeper into the further. And then, you know, you end up seeing a little bit too much. You know, scale it back a little bit. You know, we don't need to see everything. Because it takes away, like, the mystique. It's probably the best way to put it for, like, the further.
Yeah, agreed.
So looking ahead, Vosh, of course, Twisted Tuesday, we got coming up again every single Tuesday night. So just as a note, we did open up the cast room to public. It was on private before, but, you know, now that we have the podcast, we opened it up to everyone. The room URL is not going to change. You can find it on the show notes. You can find it on our website as well. And it usually, I edited the time. I know last time I said, you know, it's usually 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. That's not the case because I podcast, which is, this one is seasonal, though. So, like, it doesn't always happen. But when this podcast is happening, we tend to start later. Typically, normally it would be 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, but now it's closer towards 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. So
yeah, 7:30. Yeah.
Yeah. So for like the East Coast crew, I'm sorry, guys. It's just the nature of the beast. And I know you're on the West Coast. I'm Central. We have to make do with what we're given. So you know, some nights we are up until, you know,
midnight,
or later, depending on what we're watching. Like, I mean, this past Tuesday, both of those movies were 2 hours. It was a long night, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. We were up really late in everything. We were up pretty late on Tuesday. I think it was after 12 that we were up and everything after midnight. But it happens sometimes. Sometimes, you know, and it's okay. If you guys don't want to hop in for Twisted Tuesday for both movies, that's fine. If you guys want to hop in, you know, for one movie and then say goodbye after you chat with us and watch a movie, that's totally fine. It's all up to you guys. We just stay because we just love spending that Tuesday together. Myself, Totem, and Jess, we've been doing it for 3 years. So it's something that is pretty much a part of my weekly life, hanging out with my PIC. So I will continue to do it. I will fall asleep every once in a while, though. Like, there are times where we're up late and I will fall asleep watching the second movie. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, it does happen. Like, I know it's happened to me a few times with the less drive-in, just because that does run really late as well. Plus, they have all, like, the behind-the-scenes tidbits as well. So there's, like, 8 segments on top of the 2 movies. But anyways, so join us every Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. The links and all of that good stuff are in the show notes. It's on the website. All that info is out there for you guys. But this upcoming Tuesday, that is on May 12th, we are featuring a Into the Dark double feature. As we mentioned earlier, Into the Dark is Hulu's anthology series, which is something that premiered back in October of 2018. And they had 12 feature-length episodes. Right now, it is currently on its second season, which began back in October of 2019. The most recent release of this actually was yesterday, which was May 8th, for an episode titled Delivered, which, as I mentioned, is Mother's Day themed. And basically, like, with this series, each episode is inspired by either, like, a holiday or an event during whatever month that the episode is released. So each episode is very unique and different. So on tap for Twisted Tuesday this week, we have Pooka, which was released in the first season back in 2018, followed by the newer one, which is the sequel, Pooka Lives, which was released in this current season. So next week, we'll be reviewing Pooka Lives on this podcast. I'm looking forward to it. And for those that aren't familiar with Pooka, think like, if, remember when, like, when Furbies came out? Oh, it's probably, like, the best thing I can compare it to. There's always, like, these toy trends that happen, like, every year. That's, like, the must-have toy.
Yes.
So Pooka is essentially, like, this mascot of said toy. And, if anyone is familiar with the movie Clown, where the guy puts on a clown suit and it basically, like, morphs into him and becomes him, it's kind of in similar vein to that. Obviously, the guy who is under the costume ends up going a little stir crazy, and things just escalate from that point. And I'll be honest, I have not watched the trailer for Pooka Lives. I kind of wanted to go in blind. I don't know what to expect from it. But Pooka, the first one, got pretty good praise from all of us on Twisted Tuesday. So my expectations are fairly above average, because you know you just never know when it comes to something that's like straight to like a streaming service, because we haven't really watched a ton of the Into the Dark episodes yet. Only a couple. I think there was only like one other one that we watched prior to Puka.
Yeah.
But you know, so far so good. But you know, I will have to imagine with something that is, you know, 12 feature length episodes, you are bound to have a dud here or there. And that reminds me, for those that have not seen the Creepshow TV series, which was at one point exclusive to Shudder, I know that AMC has actually started to air them. I believe they air on Sunday nights. So if you don't have Shudder, I highly recommend you guys go check that out. Maybe they actually have it like on their demand, you know, through, you know, your Roku app or whatever, or your cable provider, because those are a lot of fun as well. And it's also anthology themed, much like the movies of the same name. But yeah, that's pretty much it, Vosh, unless you have anything else to note about Puka.
Nothing at all. I love the first one, so I'm most definitely looking forward to the second one. I have high hopes for it. I believe it's going to be good. I didn't watch the trailer just for Puka Lives, just like you did, because I do want to go in blind. I'm very excited for Twisted Tuesday this Tuesday. I'm always excited for Twisted Tuesday, but this one's going to be fun.
Yeah. Be a lot of fun. You know, one of the best parts about Twisted Tuesday, outside of the fantastic and very weird conversations that we can have, is the fact that I feel like I always know when Tuesday is and when Friday is, because those are the movie nights. Like, we have Twisted Tuesday, Friday, when there's not a pandemic, it's usually the movie night. During pandemic, it's the last drive-in double feature. Those are like really the only 2 days that I know for sure are that actual day. Everything else beyond that is just a complete blur to me. Everything is just one day mixing together, but Tuesday and Friday are always the spotlight. You know, we are getting to that point. So let's go ahead. Let's wrap things up for tonight. So if you guys want to help us out, please do us a favor. We are a new podcast. Leaving us a review and writing a review out on iTunes really helps with visibility. We're always looking for insight too. Let us know how we're doing. If you'd like to see us incorporate anything in particular to the podcast, or you can always like reach out to us via email. So just as a reminder, if you want to contact the show, you can contact us via email at handlewithscarepod@gmail.com. You can also find us on our website at www.handlewithscarepod.com. We do have a Discord server set up, which is very early on. We only have a couple people so far in it, but if you guys want to connect with us that way and, like, you know, text us via Discord, you can do so on there. I'm not going to read the URL just because it doesn't really make any sense to do that. I got to set up, like, a discord.me link, which would probably be a lot easier to read off than the random character URL that it gives you for the invite code. But if you want to tweet at us, you can reach us on Twitter at @HandleWithScare. And as for our hosts, you can contact Totally Drunk on Twitter at @TotallyDrunkCDR. And Vosh, how can our listeners contact you via social media?
You can contact me on Twitter at @VoshTLeahB. And my handle is VoshT. I love everything tea and horror. So that's how you can handle how you can contact us.
All right. So with that being said, guys, we do appreciate everyone that has been tuning in and downloading, subscribing, all of those good things. And we look forward to seeing you guys on Tuesday for our Puka double feature for the Into the Dark series via Hulu. We will see you then. Take care and have a good night.
Good night.